Good morning. Depends where we are. Good morning. Good afternoon, Friday. It's well and truly afternoon here. It's beer o'clock. G'day and beers for those of you that are on my side of the world, or if you're the side of the world I was only just on. Good morning. Or maybe you're listening to it later. I don't know. Have a beer. Or a coffee. Whatever. I've got a lot of stuff today. Got a lot of things on my mind that I want to talk about. Things that I've written this week. I did a blog post this week. It is a bit of a, I find blog posts for me, other than the ones that I attach every week to these videos, tend to be very much like, I'm annoyed about something now, so let me write it. And then I'll sit down and I'll just blow half a day in a case like this, because it's just what I want to do. I'm just pissed about it. Ben's there. G'day, Ben. Danny, g'day. Welcome. Anyway, let's do the sponsor. Who could it be this week? It must be Report Your RI again this week. Scott Helms' baby, my surrogate baby. Is surrogate the right word? Foster, I don't know. I have an interest in Report Your RI. Report Your RI does fantastic stuff. I've spoken it many times before. I don't think it's going to be news to folks listening to this, but let's do it anyway. It is security header reporting, among other things that you can report on. Your browser's got all these super cool things built into it that can report on really weird stuff that should not be going on. Oh, I've got a great story about this. I don't think I can tell the story. If Scott joins, we'll see if he wants to tell the story. We'll see. Anyway, report about all kinds of crazy stuff that's happening in your browser that should not be happening. It is for you, the folks who are the dev and slash security people who control websites and want to get your websites reporting on things that have appeared from rogue locations and have been caught by a content security policy. The CSPs, again, I don't think need any introduction here, but a content security policy, the ability to say you can get JavaScript from here and there and CSS from there and fonts from there, but from nowhere else, among other things. Super cool, super free feature in your browser that everyone should be using. It could block the sort of stuff I really want Scott to join and talk. Oh, I've got so many good ideas. I'm going to take credit for it. Scott, if you watch this later on, I came up with what I think is one of the best conference demos that you will ever see. And I just hope that we're in a position to share this later on. So maybe Scott will fill in the blanks later on. Anyway, go and check out Report Your RI. Super awesome tool. And I think Scott in particular has just done an amazing job with this. So check it out. Matt, good afternoon from Robina. Well, that's a long way away. All right, so Matt will at least understand how I am dressed like this today. It is another hot one on the Gold Coast. Where am I? My office is down to 26 degrees now because we finally got our aircon fixed. But I think pretty much every day this week, Matt, and it'll be a little bit warmer for you in Robina because you're a bit inland, but for us in Surface Paradise, this is how consistent our weather is on the Gold Coast. This is each day's maximum temp. 31, 30, 30, 31, 31, 30. that's it every day. At least it's not as humid now though, Matt. It was that was miserable last week, wasn't it? Speaking of miserable, I have come home to all sorts of things that needed fixing. I was talking before about my air conditioning. Finally, the air conditioning fixed. That was not a cheap experience. Tell you what, look, if you're in an apartment, particularly if you rent somewhere and you've got someone else responsible for it, owning your own home is a bloody expensive exercise. So 18-year-old air conditioner, a lot of thousands of dollars to fix that when it broke. We came home to a little leak, fortunately in the garden, not a leak into the house. We've already gone through that process a couple of years ago. That was very, very expensive. And little leak in the garden. So I was like, okay, well, we'll just get the plumber around and he'll fix the leak and we'll give him some hundreds of dollars and then we'll go along our way and we'll be fine. Now, unfortunately, they couldn't see the leak. See the water coming out through the garden. Couldn't see the leak. So they said, oh, you've got to get a leak detection company out because I've got special tools or something. Leak detection company gets us to read the meter in 15 minutes, read it again, such that we've established we're leaking 1,000 litres of water an hour at the moment, which apparently is about $90 a day, which the council will reimburse us for because it is a leak that we're trying to fix and it's not directly our fault. Leak detection people come, all right? The leak's 30 centimetres down. Plumber comes back. There's tree roots everywhere. We can't get to the leak. Okay, so we need a tree removal person. So The tree removal people are busy. They can't come till tomorrow. So the tree removal people will come, and eventually they will now chop down an entire freaking palm tree, because that's the only way you can get to the leak, remove that, and then the plumber's got to come back multiple days later. So we're burning, 24,000 litres of water a day. So we're going to burn, in total since this happened, we must have burned hundreds of thousands of litres of water fixing the leak. And we're already $1,000 plus down between the plumber and the leak detection people before we get to the tree people and then the plumber again. So, yeah, that's a bit painful. Ben says, I got a quote to get aircon into my office, $8,000. Decided it was cheaper to run the other two at full blast. Our repair was almost that. Almost. But it was better than the $51,000 we got quoted to completely replace the 18-year-old units. $51,000. So, yes, we said no to that. We will spend, I think it was about $7,000. We'll spend the $7,000 and hope it doesn't just break, you know, like next year or something, and then we have to throw that out. G'day, James. Afternoon, morning, evening. Matt, our home has more air cons than it has people due to this weather. Yeah, it does feel a bit like that, doesn't it? That said, we did get out on the jet ski today. In fact, we bought a new jet ski. Long story. We got out on the jet ski today. Went up to a nice island cafe, had a nice lunch, rocketed back on the jet ski, and it rained a lot whilst we were away in Europe, but from the, I think, pretty much the end of Christmas for several weeks, it rained a lot. There's a lot of murky water areas all cleared up, and we're just like blasting past the islands with the clear water. It was beautiful. Happy days. Sorry if you're somewhere cold at the moment. Now, what are we talking about? Because I have multiple interesting things. Nope, that's GitHub. Been doing a lot of code this week. Been deploying things. So I was spoken before about Stefan, Chief Password Wrangler, Stefan and I rolling Have I Been Pwned from Table Storage over to Serverless SQL Azure. And whilst we were away at NDC Oslo, we spent some time planning the final process for that. And then that's what we've been doing this week. It is a non-trivial task because we've got to enumerate through what I think is 5-point-something billion rows in table storage, with each row then on average having 2-something data breaches against it, hence the almost 13 billion headline figure for Have I Been Pwned. We've got to enumerate through every one of those 5 billion records and then insert them into SQL. And there's a lot of junk in there that we've got to clean up as we go, because you parse stuff out. I've got more than a decade of parsing stuff out. Not every domain, for example, was actually a valid domain. So we're getting stricter on things like domains cannot begin or end with a dash. You cannot have a dash before the dot part of a domain. There are other characters a domain can't have. A domain can't have an underscore. If there's an underscore, it's an invalid domain. So all this sort of stuff, we're having to go through and apply these rules to try and reduce by probably some small single-digit percentage the amount of data coming from table storage rolling over to SQL Azure. Once it's done, we'll have much better ability to scale, replicate, restore from disasters, all the rest of it. But it is a tedious, tedious process, and Stefan's doing a great job adding yet more and more conditions as we start processing it and then hitting a bottleneck because we've realized some screwy thing in the data set. Marek says only 26 here in Sydney. Finally, some relief. Yeah, but I mean, Sydney, for those of you from other parts of the world, and I did spend about 15 years in Sydney, so I think I've got an informed opinion. It's a place where it's not as consistent and it's not as consistently warm as here, but you'll get these spikes where it will get really hot, like well into the 30s. And then if you get to Western Sydney, you might have multiple days of 40 something, and then it will be cold in winter. So it's a bit brutal there. I feel your pain there, Marek, when it gets full on. James, if shipping wasn't so expensive, I'd ship you down some of our cold. Yeah. Well, it's fun. So one of the many things that is broken in this house at the moment, the home automation's not broken. That's fine. Believe it or not. One of the many things that's broken is somewhere up on our roof, the solar heating. Now, this is solar heating. It's not photovoltaic solar heating. It's where the water gets pumped up into black tubes, goes up and down the roof, gets a whole bunch of sun on it. There's a big leak up there somewhere that's broken. We're waiting for them to come and fix it, I think, next week. But I tell you what, we jumped in the pool today and we're like, yeah, I'm pretty happy it's actually not any hotter than this. I'm all right with that. It's okay. Brendan's there. G'day, Brendan. So what's reasonably comfortable weather again? Yeah, I think that was that to me or to someone else? Anyway, for me, I think 30 without having crazy humidity. And what I mean by crazy humidity is we were constantly at about 96% or something the other day. I heard on the radio the other day a meteorologist saying that this was the highest dew point he'd ever seen anywhere in the world, which is apparently makes it feel extra humid. The weather station at the moment, according to Home Assistant, we've peaked at 6 a.m. at about 93% humidity. Most of the day has been 70 to 75. So it's actually been pretty good. But the other day, whew, that was rough. Marek says, Western Sydney is like stepping into an oven. Speaking of roofs and things here, I had to get up on the roof to install the solar sensor and UV sensor for the Davis weather station before we went away on holidays. And the roof is there's a section of the roof, which is a black tin roof. And unfortunately, it's just on top of a balcony, so it doesn't sort of heat up what's inside. But I took up one of those laser pointer heat measuring things. I'm sure there's a better word for it, thermometer maybe. Pointed at the roof and we had like 85 degrees. So it was 85 degrees, the temperature of the tin on the roof, which was nuts. okay, yeah, so the solar's broken as well. The garage door isn't working properly. Someone's coming out for that. All right, let's talk about different bullshit. Let's talk about the mother of all breaches. Now, I spoke about this last week, and I was frustrated at the amount of press this got. Now, just to emphasize just how much press and just how broad this thing is, not 5 minutes before going on air, my mother sent me a text message, which was a screen grab of a news article that her Swedish friend had sent with "Have I Been Pwned" and my name in it, all about the mother of all data breaches. And that was the Swedish version of the one that my father-in-law had sent Charlotte today that was in Norwegian because he saw me in there and the story was about the mother of all data breaches and then something about me and "Have I Been Pwned." I can't read this one. It's Swedish. I've got a tiny bit of Norwegian. I definitely don't have any Swedish. It has got so much traction. And last week, I was just frustratingly lamenting the fact that this was such a beat-up because clearly it was data from other places that we'd seen before. Now, I feel very smug right now because I said something in the tweet thread which turned out to be absolutely spot on. I'm going to go back to the tweet thread and I'm going to tell you what I said. It's like I've seen it all before. Where was this? Jan 23. What day was that? That was more than a week ago. So Jan 23 was Tuesday last week. Now, Bob Diachenko had found this. This is all before I did the other video because I spoke about this a week ago. And I said, interesting find by Mayhem Day One, Bob. Wonder if it was from a shady breach search service. We've seen a bunch shut down over the years. Either way, collecting and storing this data is now trivial, so not a big surprise to see someone screw up their permissions and re-leak it all. I called it. I said, I wonder if it was from a shady breach search service. Now, let me just find the tweet that explains this. I have not shared the tweet that explains this because I don't want to give this thing any more airtime, but I did send it to someone, and it's in here somewhere in my messages with them. Oh man, we've had a lot of messages. Where was it? It's back here somewhere. Jeez. This was just like, it was so obvious what was coming with this. How have I sent so many messages? All right, this is Stefan. This is why there's so many messages here, because we've been doing the database rollout and we just got like gazillions of messages. And somewhere up before we started all that, I was like, hey, look at this. You know, like this is exactly what I thought it would be. No. I should just save this somewhere. I literally can't remember the name of the service. I know it starts with the word leak because they all do. And that was when I sent him that other message. And when I say they all do, this will make sense as I start reading through the post. You can tell I don't do a lot of preparation with these videos. Oh, shit, actually, maybe I do. Did I put that? Oh, I did. Yeah, of course. I've literally got the tweet right here in my notes window. Okay, so, again, not naming the service. So it was Tuesday last week when I said, you know, look, this is obviously crap. Now, Jan 24, which actually might have been even before I did the last video, but I just had not seen this. It was Wednesday last week. Some anonymous person tweeted something. Now, they said, and I'm not going to read it verbatim because I honestly just don't want people going out giving this thing more airtime. They said they weren't expecting this to happen. They have missed, and I feel like it's a royal they or a royal we. Now, for those of you not familiar with the term, it might be one person, but they say we. File misconfiguration has been fixed. We're currently analysing logs to try and figure out scope and everything else. We're confident no registered user information was accessed. So, get this straight. They're like, maybe there was something else other than the firewall, but it just read like the only thing protecting the data is the firewall. They screwed up the firewall. No one who deliberately gave them personal data in order to buy other people's information had their data exposed. All they did is lose like 25 billion records of other people's data, which apparently is fine. So this is a service called Leak Something. That's the only thing I said here, Leak Something. They've really, really screwed this up. They've been sitting on all of this personal data, which has then been left publicly exposed. Bob's found it. And it is exactly what I've said it is. It's a shady lookup service. Now, I'm going to use the word shady for reasons that will become clear as we go through this. I went to this website, and there have been other ones similar to this in the past. And I found that they've got billions and billions of records, and you can search for data. And there's some info here about things like API. Okay, you got to log on for that. Documentation. Search API. You got to have an API key. Obviously, you buy an API key. And then they're like, that's fine. You could buy an API key and have it been pwned as well. But then the fields that appear to be available here is basically everything, right? It's all the data. Now, like when I started looking at this, I was like, all right, this is exactly what I called it. It is exactly what I knew it was going to be. It is someone with a personal stash of data. So I wrote this blog post about, what did I title it here? This was the one where it was like, this is pissing me off now. I'm going to write about it. The data breach personal stash ecosystem. And really what I was trying to demonstrate here is that, like I said last week in the video, there's so much this data floating around. It's everywhere. It is so easy to go and find billions and billions of records of breached data. It's freely downloadable in so many obvious places before you get to more private channels, before you get to Tor Hidden Services, literally downloadable all over the public clear web. And I went through in this blog post and I gave some examples. I got a couple of screen caps. I didn't say where they're from. Some people might recognize one or two of them. And then I went and gave examples of the websites that were previously making this data available via forums. So for example, Raid Forums. Now, Raid Forums got taken down after sharing huge volumes of data here. And I've made an observation here. The person running this, Diogo Santos Coelho, I don't know. He was 14 when he started Raid Forums, and he was 21 when he got arrested. He managed to run the thing for 7 years. He's a kid, right? Legally, many years to go, still a kid, when he started this thing. He had no idea about the social consequences of what he was doing. He was a child. So anyway, Raid Forums got shut down, and then Breach Forums appeared. Now, Breach Forums, we now know, was run by Connor Fitzpatrick, he's been in the news a little bit already this year because he's been sentenced for his role in running this and having kiddie porn as well. So, you know, like if it's not bad enough already exchanging a whole bunch of people's data and selling it to their detriment. Yeah, well, we don't even need to get into the other stuff. But clearly that has factored into his sentencing. 20 years old when he was arrested. Now, these things don't happen overnight. You're 20 years old by the time you're arrested. He was a child when he started this, certainly. So he's been arrested as well. There is another service there now that has replaced this. The person running that will almost certainly be a young male who began doing this as a child who will be arrested at some point and face harsh penalties. Like it just happens over and over again, every single one of them. And they will be very confident that they will be fine right now. And then, like Connor, they're going to go and plug their own email address into a private chat somewhere and someone will snare that and join all the dots. Or their VPN will drop. I think that was another thing that happened to Connor. Over and over and over again. Now, I've linked in here to a talk I did at AusCert a couple of years ago. And in the AusCert talk, I'm showing other search services. I showed WeLeakInfo and I showed LeetSource. And in both those cases, again, same modus operandi. Very young males running the service, screwing up their OPSEC, getting caught. And one of the funny things, and I've done this piece many, many times, so I kind of remember all this, that the guy running LeetSource was a guy called Jordan Bloom. And he was picked up, I think, when he was 25, which is really old. You know, well, says me. Anyway, but really old for someone running a service trading in identity theft data, advertising on hacking forums so that you can go and screw people over after they've already been screwed over a data breach. And Jordan, with the money he made, was driving around in a bright green Lamborghini whilst also trying to be anonymous, right? And this is the common theme. Everyone on every one of these sites always tries to be anonymous. Now, if you don't know what I mean by this, go and have a look at any of these services. If you Google, you'll find it yourself anyway. And try and find information about the person. I mean, the one that I was just on here, so like I'm looking around the site and it's like dashboard search, databases, is there an about link? Like, who are we? There's a contact us, might be a royal us, don't know, just fill in the form, removal requests. It's super weird. And the only thing I could find, and we're going to talk about these in a moment, is somewhere in here, is the terms and conditions. Now, where else are the terms and conditions? I'm going to expand that out. It's not down the bottom. Or terms of service. Documentation? Was it there? Where can I find it now? Support? No. FAQs? Maybe it's there. I don't know. Where can I find it now? What if I search in Google? Because I want to read this bit. It's kind of hilarious. Actually, we'll do it like that. This is just, we're going to be talking about this. There'll be a video at some point in the future, I don't know how long, where it's like, hey, remember that thing that I spoke about a little while ago? Well, this is what it was, and this is the person who was behind it, and he's now facing charges. Okay, found the terms of service. We're going to come back to that. So anyway, in the AusCert video, I talk about these guys. And of course, they all end up getting arrested. WeLeakInfo is a couple of guys in the Netherlands. I think one guy in Ireland as well. They all got picked up. There's another one that went down a while ago as well, LeakBase. And it's kind of interesting. WeLeakInfo, LeetSource, LeakBase. And then this other one starts with Leak as well. And I kid you not, in several of the times I've done this talk, and there's always similar this bit, I make the joke. It's like if you call your site Leak something, you're going to jail. Like it works out every single time. Now, hey, John's here. G'day, John. John Oppenducker. Oppenucker. Usually when I see John, we've had a bunch of beers somewhere in Belgium, so the memory can be hazy sometimes. So anyway, we go down here, and what's fascinating, and obviously WeLeakInfo and LeetSource have been shut down. Wayback Machine has still got a whole bunch of archived content from there, including their terms of service. And it's quite funny because if we go back to LeetSource, Jordan Bloom, Green Lambo guy, John's excited about the green Lambo there. The entire terms of service is very small. It must be like 200 words. Now, we all hate terms of service, terms and conditions, acceptable use, and we all just tick the box and go, yeah, yeah, we agree and we do it. I, last year, spent a lot of time with KPMG Law doing all the privacy stuff and all the legal documentation for Have I Been Pwned and the terms of service. Go and have a look at the terms of service on Have I Been Pwned. That was as succinct as I could make it, and it's thousands and thousands of words, and it is a miserable, boring read. Someone's written this up themselves, but here's what's so funny about it. Now, again, this is leaked source, the one that got shut down very publicly several years ago. One of the best things here is, you know, people are standing these services up with all of this personal information, and the clause they're trying to fall back on to claim innocence is, by using this service, you agree to only do good things with it. And if you don't do good things, it's not our fault because we told you not to. Here's the exact wording. You may only use this tool for your own personal security and data research. You may only search information about yourself or those you are authorized in writing to do so. Searching information on others is strictly prohibited. In the event somebody else shares the same username or full name as yourself, you must delete any data of theirs that is displayed. Job done, not going to jail. Except then they advertise on hacking forums. Now, if you advertise the service on hacking forums, that very much invalidates all of that. Like, you're not going to be able to front up there in court at some point and go, well, really, we tried to do that. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Not by a long shot. So, the reason that's so funny is that when we come back to this one that was the source of the mother of all breaches the other day, the one that starts with the word leak, there are four observations I made here that tie it to all the other ones that have been shut down and people prosecuted. Number one, after purchasing access, the service returns extensive personal information exposed in data breaches, including names, email addresses, usernames, phone numbers, and passwords. Number two, the operator is clearly trying to remain anonymous with no discoverable information about who is running it. Number three, it has terms of service that include, and then I've put a little copy paste here. And here's the fascinating thing. I literally went through and diffed this. Whoever's running this new lookup service, it'd be better if it was a lookup service, has copied and pasted the terms and conditions of the other one that got shut down and the guy prosecuted. And all he's done is like changed several words. It leaked source used to say, you may only use this tool. This one says you may only use this service for your own personal security research. And what have changed here? The old one, leaked source, says for your own personal security and data research. And this one took off data. You may only use it for your own personal security and research. The next sentence, leaked source says, you may only search information about yourself. The new one says, furthermore. Put a furthermore on there. You may only search for information about yourself. And then leaked source used to say, all those you are authorized in writing to do so. The new one says, all those who you are authorized. That's like this. You ever copy your friend's homework as a kid and then the teacher busted you because all you did is just change a few words? This is what it feels like. Someone has copied someone else's homework and they're probably going to go to jail. Not for copying the homework, but for doing the same dodgy shit the person they copied it all off did. I just don't know where to go from there. We'll see. I ended the blog post. I didn't want to be too serious. I ended the blog post with, maybe the young guy running this service, assuming that previously observed patterns apply, I'm trying to be gender inclusive here, but let's be honest. Like, we know what it's going to be. Like, this is so predictable. Maybe the young guy running this service will learn from history and quietly exit while this get while the getting is good. I don't know, time will tell. At the very least, if he reads this and takes nothing else away, don't go driving around in a bright green Lamborghini. Now, people seem to love that because I finish with humour. I don't know if the person responsible has actually read it or not. It's certainly the blog post got lots of airtime, lots of socialisation, which is good. I did just notice looking at his Twitter account here, there's been no activity since owning up to misconfiguring his firewall. Oh, no, it's wild, isn't it? What a crazy time. Now, I did sort of make a comment in here that services like this flourish because of the masses of freely available data combined with the fact that it is easy to do stuff on cloud. It is very, very easy to get started, caveat I'll come back to get started with building a service like this, doing it for next to nothing because storage is cheap and you can wrap it in Cloudflare and then you can, where am I even going with this? You can get website templates and things like that. Like you can make a good looking site really, really easily. Now, to do something that operates at scale and lasts as well is a different story. And I've certainly learned a lot by doing that. But that's crazy. So as Ben says, easy to get it wrong too. Yeah, well, you know, here we are. Now, this also is like the perfect example of why have I been pwned? Never, ever, ever has anything other than email addresses in it or pwned passwords where it's just passwords and no association between them. And the reasoning I've always given is that I could screw something up. I'm not berating the guy for messing up his firewall rules. I could do this. You know, there but for the grace of God sort of stuff. So one day that could be me. But if I do, no one's dates of birth or passwords or Ashley Madison fetishes or anything like that are getting leaked. None of that is getting leaked. You cannot lose what you do not have. That is why I do not have that data sitting up there in Have I Been Pwned. Seems obvious to me. But, you know, this will be really good material because the number of times someone's like, hey, Troy, why don't you just store the passwords in there so that we can see which password is being used for the account because we're anything from a corporate and we want to see who's reusing passwords through to a red teamer and it would be useful. This is why. This is why. So thank you, Leak Service, for giving me a precedent that I will get huge amounts of mileage out of now. Matt says, must be quite hard to balance get rich and enjoy the spoils of crime with remain totally anonymous and avoid law enforcement. Screw it. Let's just get a bright lime green Lamborghini. Yeah. Yeah. I got so much to say about this. I really do. Particularly like we've all been young. I'm still young at heart. But we've all been of an age where we have made ill-informed decisions due to immaturity. And if I'm honest as well, when this person gets picked up for this, you want them to go on and have a fruitful life beyond that. You don't want this to like ruin their lives either. It's dumb decisions you made. I certainly made dumb decisions. I got myself in a whole heap of trouble. Read my book when I was inevitably this age, you know, 20, 21 years old. So it happens. Let's talk about something more lighthearted, scraping. Now, I did end up putting out a poll, and I'd said last week, this is in relation to Trello, I said I was a little bit tempted to put out a poll and ask about scraping. And I didn't do it because I just didn't want to sort of dwell on the Trello thing. So I gave it a bit of time, and then I did it. And I didn't put it in the context of Trello. I'm going to find the poll here. And here's what I said. Scraping. Should we be concerned if an individual's personal data is scraped, aggregated en masse, and redistributed, if that same data is already publicly accessible on the service anyway? Vote, and if possible, add more context in a reply. Now, you had two options. You said, no, we shouldn't be concerned because it's public anyway, or yes, and then explain why. Now, it was actually a very close result. I honestly expected a lot more people to say yes. It was only 55-45. 55 said no. 45 said yes. A lot of people in the replies went, it's public anyway. And I really, really feel that this misses a very, very important part of this. And I spoke about it last week in relation to Trello. The important part is that you provide your data as an individual. And also, this has nothing to do with GDPR or CCPA or whatever acronym that you have in your part of the world. This is like basic human decency. You know, what is a reasonable expectation as an online citizen when you provide your data to a service? And the reasonable expectation is when you provide it to the service, you provide it in a context, you have a vague idea of how it's going to be used. You haven't read the terms and conditions, so you don't know completely. But if it's LinkedIn, you know you're going to get contacts from recruiters, you know it's going to be visible to people you connect to. That's the world that you expect your data to live in. If someone comes along and scrapes all of that off, and particularly when they then combine it with hundreds of millions of other records, and then they use it in a completely different way, you're pissed. You're going to be pissed. I'm pissed when I see it happen. I was pissed that my Trello data was taken in that way. And that's the bit I think is really, really missing here. The other thing is, and this is, I guess, a little bit more nuanced towards the Trello side, but is relevant too to the LinkedIn situation. There is a difference between going to an online profile and seeing someone's data there on a web page with a unique URL that might have some sort of ID or username in it, difference between that and starting to tie in other personal attributes to identities where the individual may not have wanted that to happen. And this was the Trello situation, but again, relevant to LinkedIn, where you could feed in an email address and get back information about the person. And that's then on the service, because what if I didn't want my email address to be associated to my online identity? What if I wanted my email address to be private? Because my email address, for example, might be uniquely identifying, but my personal profile, my online profile, may not be. Surely I should have a reasonable expectation that they won't be joined together. Now, we'll see in the Trello situation, so in this modern day of litigation, whether they get thrown with class actions, because people tend to throw class actions all over the place these days. But that just seemed like the sort of thing that shouldn't happen. And I really wonder, for the 55% of people here that said no, if they were to understand that question better than just a short question in a poll, if they'd still feel the same. I don't know. They get a drop. Now, we didn't do enough ranting about the mother of all breaches, so let's go on. Let's rant about something else here. And this is a reasonable rant, and I need to look within myself as to why I was so pissed at this. I think I know. Europcar. Now, I have been a customer of Europcar on many, many occasions in the past. So when I saw only a few days ago a tweet saying that Europcar had been breached, I was curious. So Hackmanic here on Twitter, who tweets a lot of really, really good early warnings for data that's posted to particularly to hacking forums, says Europcar reportedly breached nearly 50 million customer records for sale, a large database containing 48 something. Customer records Europcar has been put up for sale on a hacking forum. The cyber criminal, known by the alias Lean, claims that the exfiltrated data included full subdomains, administrator panels, and detailed personal information such as usernames, passwords, full names, addresses, cities, zip codes, cities of birth, cities of issuance, passport numbers, expiration dates, driver's license numbers, DNI details. What's DNI? I don't know. Numbers and bank details. That is a really, really serious claim. And they posted it to a public forum, the one that has succeeded breach forums, which had succeeded raid forums, and that went to jail, and they went to jail, and now these ones are just waiting to go to jail until the whole thing gets shut down. Posted it, not to the dark web, to a public hacking forum, posted a sample and asked for money. Now, because I know the site, I'm going to see if it's still there. It's still there. I wonder if there's any more update on this. Verifying you're a human. This may take a few seconds. Proceeding. the specified thread does not exist. All right, it's been deleted. So let's talk about why it's been deleted. This is where it gets funny. James says, at least they don't randomly report cars stolen and get customers jailed like Hertz does. Holy shit. All right, that's a different thing. So when I saw this, I was interested and I was like, okay, well, this is just another one on the big list of big names on this website. We'll wait and see when the data pops up, and then I'll go through and I'll validate it. And if it's legit, we'll go into Have I Been Pwned, and I'll send lots of emails and so on and so forth. Business as usual. And then people started getting in touch with me about it. And a couple of journos in particular were like, you know, look at the data. Like, the data just doesn't quite check out. And I was having a chat with the journo right at the beginning of that realization. I'd gone, oh, this is interesting. Look what's been posted. And then he's like, yeah, but there's a few things here that don't check out. One of the first things I did is I went through and I started grabbing email addresses from the sample and putting them into Have I Been Pwned to see if they've been in data breaches. Now, I've written before about how there's a really interesting technique that another company told me they were using to try and establish the authenticity of email addresses. And that is, we have all been so breached that if an email address hasn't been breached, there is a greater likelihood that it is fake. Or to invert that assertion, if you can find an email address that has been in data breaches, particularly go back some years, you can establish with a fairly high degree of confidence how long it's been around for. So if we're trying to figure out are email addresses, actual email addresses, or been faked, if I keep chucking them in a Have I Been Pwned, if none of them come up, smells fishy. If some of them come up, well, then suddenly it's like, oh, okay, that's actually interesting. That could be real. So that's what I did. I started chucking them into Have I Been Pwned, and some of them came up. And they had breaches that went back, in some cases, many, many years. I think one of them was even in the MySpace one. So that makes it really interesting. But then there are other things that were just very, very weird about it. So I've got a thread here on it. I said, for example, compare the usernames to the full names. Now, I was talking to Ari, my 14-year-old son, about this the other day, and I was explaining it to him. I was like, mate, if you go to a website and you got to create an account and it asks you for a username, what username do you use? And he's like, oh, probably like Ari Hunt. So yeah, okay, that's what I do too. Like, it seems, well, Troy Hunt. That seems logical. That's what most people do. They create a username similar to their name. Not everyone does that, not all the time, but a lot of people do it. And then you look at the data and you look at the usernames next to the full names, and none of the usernames look at all like the real names at all. You know, like the first one here, username Vega Barbara, full name Jody Lopez. Next one, username Riddle Lindsay, full name Wendy Thomas. Next one, username Mark 76, full name Sherry Harvey. It, like, nothing lines up. And then you keep going, and the addresses were all super weird. None of the, like, I'm plugging these addresses. I've traveled enough. I know that there are places with strange names. But none of these addresses, as I plugged them into Google Maps, were coming back with a hit. Now, this one was like 280 Michelle Cliffs, Suite 229, Tim Haven. Like, Tim Haven is the name of the town in Hawaii, and then it's got a zip code there. Now, I've been to Hawaii, but I've never been to Tim Haven, but I don't know, maybe there is a Tim Haven. But it just, none of them were coming up. None of them were getting hits. Then you go down and you've got city and date of birth. Oh, sorry, city and city of birth. None of the cities lined up with the city of birth. Now, I don't live in my city of birth. A lot of people don't, but some people do. To have a 0% hit rate is a little bit the same as a 0% hit rate on the username matching the name. It's statistically very unlikely. So, just reading this. Bezos Anti-Bullying Agency. To be fair to cyber criminals, that's not a great start. To be fair to cyber criminals, with housing being unaffordable in Australia, who can blame them for being drastic? Not making excuses. Oh, that sounds literally like you're making excuses. But just saying, who can blame someone for doing crime because housing is expensive? Can you imagine that? It's like you get caught for doing crime and you go to the judge and you say, because you're going to be charged because you've been caught for doing crime, housing is expensive. Go directly to jail. That's the answer you get. That does not fly at all. That is very literally the definition of an excuse. I hacked it, but my house costs a lot. So no, that's not going to fly. Matt says, those addresses sound a lot like fake addresses generated by that bogus NuGet package. Now, I know what it is. We've sold this, so I'm going to come down and tell you the answer. Ashley, is that green and blue sports cars I see behind you? It's Lego. It's a Bugatti Chiron and a Lamborghini Cyan. I'm still building the Ferrari Daytona. That's the SP3. It's happening. Back to him. So this was looking dodgy. Now, dodgy databases, dodgy data breaches, things claiming to be one thing that are just not, happen all the time. So in a way, it's like, you know, we go through, we do verification, it doesn't check out, that's fine. But what made it really weird is that Europcar made a statement. Now, I do have more information than I can talk about, so I'm just going to leave that out there. And I know that sounds dicky because I know something that I can't tell you. But look, just trust me. So Europcar made a statement here, and they've told Bleeping Computer that the number of records don't match theirs. Appears ChatGPT generated. And as you read different stories about this, you get multiple comments about this being AI/ChatGPT. This is not real. The AI did it. And I kind of read that and I went, I see nothing whatsoever in this data set to suggest that artificial intelligence had any role whatsoever to play. Why are they using this? And I concluded they are using that term because it's popular. You know, like, that's it. We see so much news at the moment about AI. And AI is growing very rapidly, and it is doing amazing things, and it will impact InfoSec, both for the good guys and the bad guys. It will do all of that. But this has nothing at all that I can see to qualify it as being artificial intelligence. And I would have left it. I would have gone on to the next data breach. Life would have been fine. No problems. And then I got an email. I got spam. And I'm not going to name the company, but I am going to read the spam in its entirety. This will be the first time anyone outside of private circles has seen the whole thing. I did share it with some private circles because I'm like, look at how stupid this shit is. I'm going to read you the whole thing. It's a little bit like the mother of all data breaches thing in that I would have left it. It would have been a nothing thing. But then it got all of this traction and it annoyed me and I turned it into something bigger. So everyone is aware there are a lot of InfoSec companies out there. Some of them are good. Some of them are not good. There's a lot of marketing firms out there, a lot of PR firms. So I get this email. This is 2 days ago. This is fresh news. I'm going to read the whole thing to you. Again, it hasn't been put online before, but I think it's interesting. So I get an email from a PR company. Now, I'm not going to name them because I did get a thank you from them later on for not naming them for reasons that will become apparent in a moment. But I will tell you that their website talks about editorial and comms for tech, business and startup, transforming complex tech into compelling stories and meaningful press coverage. It's PR. Now, we'll just call him PR Guy. So PR Guy emails me, "Hi Troy, in case you plan on writing anything more in depth about the odd Europcar story and think this AI fakery trend," and I'd already decided that AI was better, "this AI fakery trend is something worth covering, see below for comments from," insert, let's just say a very Israeli name, "security researcher at," Israeli security company, "a company that specializes in simulating the attacks of cyber criminal groups, who likens the incident to," I'm not making this up, "a Scooby-Doo plot." They have literally gone full Scooby-Doo on this. FYI, company name, just launched in Australia. It's an interesting company if ever you wanted an intro. Now, this is spam, right? This is literally a PR company sending me an email, unsolicited, that I didn't want, pitching the other. I'm very sensitive about spam. Anyway, cheers, PR guy. Now, here's the whole thing. This is a bit of a read, but bear with me because it's entertaining. So this is security guy, Israeli security guy at the company. The Europe car security incident unfolded like a classic Scooby-Doo unmasking. Also, what security researcher ever describes a data breach as a classic Scooby-Doo unmasking? Pull it together. Come on, we can do this. In the space of a couple of hours, the InfoSec community went from analyzing the impact of one of the biggest data breaches of all time to exposing an AI-powered hoax. A far cry from initial reports of a data breach involving 50 million customers, the incident should be classified as an attempted social engineering attack. In social engineering attacks, it's common for adversaries to manipulate their victims into sharing confidential information or executing malware to compromise the target system. Now, I haven't read it, but I'm going to take a guess that they do something and they sell a product in this space. In this case, it seems as though attackers tried to create panic and pressure their target into paying ransom for a false claim. That's bullshit. Now, the reason why that's bullshit is if we go back to the original email here. I'm trying to find that. Well, not the original email, the original tweet. I'm trying to find it here, but what they said was listening to offers for the moment. So this was someone trying to sell the data. There's no indication here, at least, that there was ever a ransom demand. And normally ransom demands do happen very silently, and after they haven't been successful, then they go public. Where were we? Seems like the attackers tried to pressure. Like a villain dressing as a ghost to convince people that the local theme park is haunted. Who the fuck are you? Like, seriously. A villain dressing as a ghost to convince people that the local theme park is haunted. Although unsuccessful, businesses should take note of the use of AI. Adversaries are quick to adapt new technology or techniques and tools, and the use of AI in cyber attacks is becoming more commonplace. We, as defenders, should expect more AI-powered cyber attacks in the near future. How many times has he said AI in this? Let's find out. Copy that. Paste it into a little EM editor window here. Control F, space, AI, space, just so we don't get AI in the middle of a word. Find next. It can't be only two, eh? No, it's more than that. No, because sometimes it ends with AI. That's why. Find next. Five AIs. Kind of expected more. Anyway. We're most of the way through this. The upside is that this campaign is not very effective against businesses that keep their security controls optimized and up to date. There's a product coming here for sure. Optimized and up to date. For example, if the victim followed the NIST SP800-61 Computer Science Incident Handling Guide, they would have realized that adversaries' claims are false and there is nothing to worry about. It should have been quick and easy to compare the, quote, stolen records with their own and see that the two did not match up. Keeping calm and following security best practices is always the way to go, even against AI-powered social engineering attacks. That is the fifth AI. Final bit here. It appears that Europcar did its due diligence and followed the incident response best practices by confirming whether these claims were true. After analysing the claim, they found that the data was fake and confirmed there was no breach. However, I assume they're still investigating the incident and following the incident response procedures. Look, here's how it works. It's really, really simple. You look at it, and you go, oh, all of that's bullshit. And we can establish it's bullshit because none of the email addresses exist in our service. And you can do very, very simple eyeballing due diligence like I did, draw a conclusion, put out a statement, go, this is crap. And then you move on to the next thing. You go and build some new features or something like that. This is just massively overcomplicated, a very simple process. And then we've got Scooby-Doo and ghosts. How weird is this industry? Anyway, so here's the rest of the thread. Because I got this and it annoyed me. So I wrote back to the guy. PR guy. And I said, AI is a really weird take. It's just a bunch of data. It's a combination of generated, and we've been doing that since well before we started saying everything was AI, and real data. Many of the email addresses genuinely exist and definitely weren't generated by AI. To be honest, this feels like a marketing exercise that had completely missed the mark. And the person responded. He said, okay, fair enough, appreciate the honesty. Okay, reasonable response. But I wasn't done. Because he did say, in my defense, he said, in case you plan on writing anything more in depth. And at this point, I felt obligated. So I wrote a thread calling this complete bullshit. And then I linked him through to this tweet. This is PR guy. We're still on PR guy. I linked him through to the tweet that said, I explained some of it, but I prefaced it and said, all right, folks, this is going to smell bullshit. Not the alleged breach, which smells bad for reasons I'll explain in a moment, but the AI line from both Europcar and the PR agency that just emailed me pitching someone's hot take on it. And then at the end of it, I said, just to be clear, the PR company here wasn't engaged by Europcar. It was an InfoSec company that saw Europcar's AI comment and took that as an opportunity to spam me, and I assume many others, about the emerging dangers of AI in attackers' hands. Scooby-Doo plot, for fuck's sake. Now, I think I said somewhere in this thread I wouldn't name the company. So anyway, I sent PR guy back this. I think to kind of rub his nose in it like a naughty Scooby-Doo. He replied and said, well, I appreciate you not naming me in there. Clearly, it was an error to talk about AI when we didn't know all the facts. We took Europcar / Bleeping Computers GPT. It's not Bleeping Computers' claim. All they did is repeated what Europcar said at face value, and saw others were talking about the possibility the AI was used in this instance to generate the data. Won't happen again. So that's the whole story. That's what happened behind it. What are the comments here? James, reminds me of pig butchering. Everything is a pig butchering since about a year ago. Yeah, now this is the term that's meant to mean establishing some long-term social engineering relationship with someone in order to, quote-unquote, fatten them up, make them more susceptible, suck money out of them. Yeah, everything now is pig butchering because it's a cool name. I agree with you. Ben says, Mystery Inc. James, it does sound like the sales department. I wonder if they're using AI. One day, so many memoirs I'd love to write when we get past the statute of limitations and getting into trouble for talking about things in both my personal life and professional life of just really stupid, weird shit that I see. And I'd love to write about some of it. And some of the ways we have used AI recently are hilarious. There's a place for it. There's definitely a place for it. But generating responses sometimes to AI can be great. Null division, plot twist. The article is written by AI. Yeah, that'd be funny, wouldn't it? Bezos only bullying army. Fair, well played. I think you're talking about the Europcar thing rather than my house was expensive, so I did cybercrime. But yep, okay, I think either way is fine. All right, folks, I've been going for about an hour. I'm going to tune out there, go and enjoy my weekend. The last bit of sunlight here. The temperature's nice. I think we're going to go and have a nice, quiet sunset drink. Thank you very much for watching. I'll be back next week with another episode of some Scooby-Dooby scary stuff. See ya.